How do you do? Mind coming with us? Destination, a perfectly ordinary town. And there we'll find the beginnings of the story of an altogether too average young man. We'll find how simple a thing as offering a ride to a girl began a chain of circumstances that led at last to his heart and mind and life being unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in the history of the medium. Unshackled has been telling true stories of real people since 1950. It is heard by millions around the world and is translated and rebroadcast in several languages. Letters coming to us give evidence that although languages and customs and cultures differ, people are at heart very much alike, and that their deepest needs are the same. And that's why we're retelling this story today. Since 1877, Pacific Garden Mission has been offering hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless, and love to the unloved through medical and dental care, shelter and food, and most importantly, counseling for spiritual needs, and all without charge. The old lighthouse has been proclaiming God's truth to all who come through our doors, men, women, and children, without consideration of race, gender, or age, as we know that God is no respecter of persons. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2540, retelling the true story of David Allen, another classic program from the files of Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. There's an expression people often use, and it ranks very high on a list of overworked cliches. And when we hear it, the circumstances are usually something like this. Do you mean to tell me that you went to school with old Snuffy? What do you know? Snuffy's my first cousin. Boy, it's a small world. It's a small world. Well, they're right in a way, and of course, technology being what it is, getting smaller all the time. But it's also becoming increasingly filled with people and schools. So the chances of any particular person having gone to school with your cousin Snuffy are growing less and less. But if you happen to be a specialist in the diseases of honeybees, you probably know everyone else in your field. Well, widen that circle if you are an activist in some club or organization. You may have interlocking acquaintances within that world that reach hundreds or even thousands with similar interests and affiliations. And still you say, it's a small world. We at Pacific Garden Mission are sometimes made very conscious of this truth. There is a remarkable interlocking relationship among people who are engaged in work of this and related kinds. And for example, in 1933, two men were traveling in the state of New Jersey. Their names were Harry Von Brook and Walter McDonald. McDonald was usually addressed by the name of Happy.
Funny thing, Happy. It took a lot of what the world calls coincidence to put the two of us here on the road together.
I guess it did at that. When did you first go to the old lighthouse, Harry?
Well, I was only 8 years old. But what I heard of Pacific Garden Mission made a great impact on my young mind at the time. How about you, Happy? How old were you when you visited the first time?
Oh, a good many years older than 8. As a matter of fact, I came at the invitation of a young nurse.
Yes,
I had no idea that she was inviting me to a mission.
Well, what happened?
I ran out the first time, but Bertie was beautiful and persistent. She continued to invite me, and I began to go almost every night. Oh, the music sung by the converts was so compelling.
Did she introduce you to Casey Jones?
Not exactly, no. Casey introduced himself on my second visit by asking me if I was saved, and if so, how did I know it? Those words and the continued visits to the mission compelled me to consider my eternal destiny. Finally, one night, I couldn't resist any longer. I accepted God's wonderful gift of salvation.
And then you gave up your old life as a song and dance man.
And soon after, I started out as an evangelist.
And that's how we happened to be traveling to New Jersey together.
Yeah, alumni of Pacific Garden Mission.
Hey, there's a sign. Pleasantville, 12 miles.
Then brace yourself, Pleasantville. The old Lighthouse Alumni Association is almost there.
I was in Pleasantville that day. It was my hometown. But I knew nothing at all about two traveling evangelists. The name of Pacific Garden Mission meant nothing at all to me. I had no idea I was about to become involved in the chain of what the world calls coincidence that links together so many people who've come in contact with the old lighthouse. If I'd known, I'd probably have left town. But since I didn't know, well, let's go back to the beginning. My name is David Allen. I grew up in Pleasantville, New Jersey, which is only 6 miles from Atlantic City. Atlantic City has the reputation of a great place for pleasure seekers. The attitude of the constant pursuit of fun and easy money is contagious. I grew up thinking that nothing in all this world really mattered, nothing that is but having fun. My parents reinforced the reputation of those living in Atlantic City. We were socially affluent, but yet outcasts in some ways to many of the respectable leaders in our town. Profanity and partying were the qualities most noted about us in our community. My dad was Jewish. He met and married my mother, a Protestant, in Liverpool, England, where I was born. They moved to the United States, and Dad became an entrepreneur. I attended the synagogue once with my dad and my mother's church a few times before I was 12. There was really no special impact on my life from these encounters, and seemingly none on theirs either. My parents occasionally discussed their religious desires for me.
I need drink, Florence. I've had a long day.
Oh, dinner will be ready in a little while. I could use one myself.
Florence, I've been thinking we need to give David some kind of religious background. You should take him to a Gentile church.
Oh, it's been so long since I've gone. Besides, you should want him to learn about his Jewish heritage.
Why must you always challenge me?
Lewis, I have been very supportive of your decisions. I left my home to come to America with you. I don't complain about all the time you spend at the department store or with the salesman late at night.
Well, this business is for a family, Florence. I want to offer David a better life than I had.
Lewis, the China factory in Liverpool was a very lucrative business. We could have been near my family and friends.
But here in America, we have new beginning, new friends, and new business. This is a better place for our children. I wouldn't want my father to ever see my children. He was very abusive to me. That's why I ran away from Russia when I was 15.
He never would have found you in Liverpool, Lewis.
Well, I want to forget my past, Florence. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
My parents were both very lenient. Their lack of discipline provided so much freedom that I was always the favorite in my school and our neighborhood. During high school, I was very popular. I played basketball, baseball, and football and helped achieve many victories for my school. Girls were always available for social events, parties, and for pure pleasure.
Hey, David, who's the lucky girl you're taking to the dance?
I'm not sure. I may have to draw a card to see whose name comes up.
Boy, all the guys would love to have your problem.
Yeah, I know. I need a snack. Let's stop by the concession stand and see what they have for us.
I don't know, David. We could get in trouble. They know you never pay for anything, but you always come away with something.
It's their special contribution to me. I should charge them for stopping by the stand.
I guess you've got a point. I hope they feel the same way.
Let's see. I'm going to have a few pieces of candy on the house.
David Allen, you thief! You think you're so special? You're just a thief!
The girl that shouted at me that day would later say something to me that would disturb me greatly, but that day I paid no attention to her words. During my senior year, I lettered in 3 sports, received a full scholarship to Wake Forest in North Carolina to play football. I continued my same reckless lifestyle while in college. Then, during my sophomore year, I became disgusted with all the parties, the girls, sports, my friends, and my classes. My life had no real meaning, no direction. I had no idea what I would do for a career, but I was sure that my life would come to ruin if I continued the way I was going. When I went home after my sophomore year, I told my dad.
Dad, I just want to get on with my life.
Well, David, you can work at our shoe store if you want. Or I could buy another department store.
Dad, I've been looking at a gas station. It's on the same road leading to Atlantic City.
Ah, well, that would be a good location. I'll take a look at it. We'll see if we should buy it.
Hey, Dave! How many gallons, Bob?
It's on the cuff. Fill her up.
And for cash?
Cash? What kind of pal are you?
Cash and Carrie Allen, they call me.
Give me 3 gallons. Mm. Hey, take a quick look at this.
Huh? Ooh, looks like it's printed in French.
It is. A guy I know snuck it past the customs.
Oh, well, it's not going to do me any good. I don't know the language.
Turn the page, boy. Turn the page.
Turn the... What for?
The pictures, pal. Look at the pictures.
Pictures?
Having any trouble understanding now?
Uh-uh. This is the international language.
Stick it in your pocket. Now, pump me some gas, buddy.
Okay.
And maybe you'd better pump me 5 gallons for the price of 3. After all, I just gave you a present.
Can I keep this book?
Only until tonight. You're going out with the rest of us, aren't you?
Yeah, sure.
Then bring the book along. I want the other guys to see it.
Okay. Hey, I let you have 6 gallons.
Thanks for the gift, buddy. I accept it with pleasure.
I was a moderately successful young businessman at the age of 22, but I was equally successful as a young rounder. My thinking seldom went beyond the next party, the next thrill. I wanted to be where the action was, and I usually managed it. And something very strange happened. And it all began when I offered a ride to a girl on her way to work.
We'll learn what happened on that ride in just a moment. Nothing warms the heart like a visit from an old friend, or a new one for that matter. So we hope you'll make time in your schedule to come to the old lighthouse soon. Now, you don't need an appointment. The door is always open. Whether you'd like to stop by for a cup of tea or coffee and just meet the folks who keep the porch light burning, or if you'd like to have a complete tour of all the facilities, you're always welcome. The best idea is to come on Saturday and watch a production of Unshackled. See for yourself how these true testimonies come to life every week. Afterward, you're welcome to stay for supper in the evening praise and testimony service. And remember, there's no charge for anything, so please visit soon. For more information, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Back in those days, I drove a Model A coupe, and it was quite a car. One day, while I was on my way to work, I noticed a girl on the sidewalk and recognized her.
Well, hi there, Dottie. Why walk when you can ride?
Why? Oh, it's David Allen.
Well, sure it's David Allen. You don't think I pick up strange girls, do you?
Well, from what I hear...
From what you hear what?
Never mind.
Come on, get in. Where are you headed?
I'm on my way to work. I work at Taylor Packing. Where are you going?
I'm on my way to my gas station. You know, I remember you from high school. You weren't always very kind to me.
You were more conceited then than you are now. I was a freshman and you were already a senior.
That seemed ages apart then. Funny. Now it doesn't seem to make much difference. Maybe we ought to see more of each other.
And maybe not.
What's the matter? Is something wrong with me?
You are so profane, David Allen. But I believe you could be a really good guy.
Now you're talking.
But you're a heathen.
I'm what?
You're a heathen.
Look at me. Now, do I look like some kind of a savage from an undiscovered island?
No.
I am a member of one of the most impressive cultures the world's ever known. I am a bright young entrepreneur. I've successfully attended 2 years of college, and there's more. Now, what makes you call me a heathen?
It's true, David.
True? Why, true that I'm a heathen?
Yes. Your language and your lifestyle reflect no concern for God. He might as well be dead.
What does that mean?
You live as though you don't know where you came from, why you're here, or where you're going. You live as though yesterday never happened and tomorrow will never come. You live as though you were an educated animal.
What?
You live as though you weren't created at all. You live as though you just happened.
Here's Taylor packing.
Thanks for the lift.
Forget it.
And if you're feeling insulted, David, I'm sorry. I think.
I'm not interested in what you think. Goodbye. Well, I was angry at first. And after I thought about it for a while, I was troubled. And I began to ask myself, where did I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? I hadn't thought about these issues since I left college. I'd escaped my doubts by focusing on my job and time spent with old friends. I tried unsuccessfully to find answers. I didn't have any answers that made sense. And after several weeks had gone by, I was just as perplexed as ever. Finally, with the questions constantly filling my mind, I swallowed my pride and went to see Dottie. Oh,
David Allen, what in the world are you doing here?
What, can't a guy call on a girl without answering a lot of questions?
Well, yeah, I guess he can. Come on in, I'll tell Mom we want a snack.
Forget about the snack. I've come to ask you some questions.
All right. Sit down. You look so disturbed.
Well, you know, I can't forget what you said to me.
Oh? What was it I said?
You said, I'm a heathen.
Yes, I guess I did.
No, I know you did. I want to know more about it. Why am I a heathen? If I am a heathen, what am I supposed to do about it?
I'm not sure I can explain it all to you, David.
Fine. Call me names, then leave me hanging.
But I can take you where you can find out about it.
You can. Well, when?
How about Thursday night?
Thursday, sure. What time shall I pick you up?
How about 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock, I'll be here. It's a date. Thursday evening, I dressed for a big occasion and drove over to Dottie's house to pick her up. She was ready, and she was waiting, but I wasn't prepared for what happened when I arrived.
Well, David, you're on time. That's good.
I'm always on time. Come on, m'lady. My carriage awaits.
Forget about your car. You can leave it here.
What?
We'll ride over with Mother and Dad.
We'll ride over with... Boy, flaming youth.
Do you mind?
Mind? Oh, no, not at all. I always double date with girls' parents. Well, we went over to Atlantic City. I sat in back with her mom while Dottie rode up front with her dad. It appeared that my language was a little uncomfortable for him, but I began to be quiet as we arrived at our destination. When her dad parked the car and we got out, I had a chance to play big shot. We were standing in front of a church of some kind. There was a big banner across the front of the building that read, Von Brook Evangelistic Party. Now, I didn't know what the word evangelistic meant, but I knew all about the word party. And if this was going to be a party, I wanted to show them all a good time. Folks, the treat's on me. I'll buy the tickets.
David, there aren't any tickets. The admission's free.
Free? That's a funny way to run a party. How do they keep the riffraff out?
Didn't you know?
Know what?
They want the riffraff.
They... Oh, why didn't you tell me we were going slumming? As it happened, things were already going when we went inside. The place was crowded, and we were given seats in the last row. Down in front, a song leader was leading the crowd in enthusiastic singing. Now, this man was fun to watch. For one thing, he seemed to be having such a good time himself. And then, too, he moved with the style of a trained dancer. And also, he could sing. All the music was good, and I began to really enjoy myself. Then the man named Von Brook began to talk. Now, I hadn't been in many church services in my life, but this man talked in a way that I understood everything, and I didn't like it.
There are some who say there's no such thing as sin. They must go through life with their eyes shut. Don't they see people on every side? denying God, mocking God, ignoring God? Don't they see people cheating each other in business, lying to each other? Don't they see adultery and degeneracy? Don't they see people giving in to selfishness and greed and bad temper and lust and cruelty? What's even more important, don't they recognize some or all of these things in themselves?
He was talking about me, no question about it. Suddenly, I decided I'd been tricked, framed. Dottie must have told the preacher all about me in advance. Now he was standing there telling the world all the things that were wrong with me, the acts and attitudes and habits that I thought I'd concealed.
Now, tell me this. Suppose you were to decide this minute that you were sorry about all these things. Could you do anything about them?
No.
Can you go back and undo the harm you've done to others?
No.
Can you put together the home you've wrecked?
No.
Can you restore the virtue you've stolen?
No.
Can you apologize to the target of your slander who has now gone away or even died?
No.
Can you restore the things you have stolen?
No.
Repay the stranger you've cheated or shortchanged in business?
The man was right. I couldn't possibly undo the damage I'd done in the past. I couldn't possibly cleanse the foulness. If God was fair and just, I had no reasonable destination but hell.
So you say, I'm a sinner.
Yes.
I've done wrong, and I'm beyond hope.
Okay.
Friend, God loves sinners. In the Bible, Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
Again, he says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And in verse 13, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Yes.
If you're not a sinner, there's no hope.
Right.
Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners!
Yes.
So cheer up.
Okay.
God has done a new and wonderful thing for you, sinner.
Amen.
He has given his Son as a sacrifice in your place so that you may be reckoned as free from the penalty of sin. God can save you from your sin. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Hallelujah.
And God asks simply this: knowing that you are a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
I didn't budge. Even when they asked if anyone wanted to come and pray, I was afraid I'd be conspicuous. Just then, a hand touched my shoulder, and I turned my head to see the song leader, Happy McDonald.
"Son, wouldn't you like to be saved tonight?"
"Well, sir, I'll tell you. I'll be back Saturday night to hear the rest of your life story."
"You may not be alive Saturday night. Wait a second. Young lady, are you a Christian?"
"Yes, sir."
"Praise God. Then would you go down the aisle with this young man?"
"Yes."
"What are we waiting for?"
The three of us marched down the aisle side by side. We knelt together, and filled with conviction, I prayed, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake." And he did. Happy Mac spent a long time with Dottie and me. He showed me from the scriptures what God had to say about all the questions I raised. Dottie received assurance of her salvation also, along with 50 others that made professions of faith in Christ. That night, when I reached home, I just had to tell my parents what had happened to me.
"Oh, you're earlier than usual, David."
"Yeah, but I have something to tell you that's real important."
"Now, what have you done?"
"Done? Mom, I've received Christ as my Savior."
"It won't last, David. They tried to convert me once. It won't last."
"Oh, honey, that's wonderful. It is."
Mom cried out of sheer relief to find out that I wasn't in some kind of trouble. December 3rd, 1933 was the night of my salvation. I never cussed again, and all of my other habits began to fall away. I was so excited that I told all of my friends, my customers, even the mailman. Hey, Tony.
Ooh,
pretty cold out there today, especially to deliver mail.
Yeah, Dave. I could use one of your special stories while I warm up for a minute.
Ah. Today, my story is special. I've received Christ as my Savior at a church meeting in Atlantic City.
Well, Dave, that's not exactly what I was hoping to hear. You know, one of your jokes and a few of your girly magazines usually keep me going through the day.
Tony, what I have to tell you can keep you going forever. It gives eternal life.
Oh, I think I have something you'd like at my house.
What's that?
Well, a lady gave me a Bible a long time ago, but I'll never read it.
Thanks, Tony. I spent the entire winter reading that Bible from cover to cover during the slow periods at my gas station. Later, both Dottie and I attended a Bible college, and we were married 5 years after my salvation. Later, my sister and my parents made professions of faith in Christ. I preached my mother's funeral. In Christ, I have found the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am true to the heritage of my father's people. In Christ, I found the one who asks only our faith and who gives his priceless gift of eternal life. I belong to Christ, and he set me free of old habits, old attitudes, old fears, and gave me new life in him.
David and Dottie have been married for over 60 years. He served as pastor of a large church in Michigan for 51 years and was featured speaker at the 1966 anniversary rally of Pacific Garden Mission. They have two fine sons who both pastor churches, one in Pennsylvania, one in the state of Washington. Their 9 grandchildren are also all following the Lord in their lives and education. David Allen knows the truth of John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Friend, truly the Lord is good and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and he will do the same for you. To counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. You can help keep Unshackled on the air in your area by writing the manager of this station and letting him know that this program is important to you. And let us hear from you, too. We enjoy knowing that you enjoy Unshackled. Our address is Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. This is program number 2540. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write soon. Your letter does mean a great deal to us. That's Unshackled in care of Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago at 312-922-1462.